Let's pray together. God, thank you for the privilege of worshiping you week after week and day after day. May it never become a perfunctory thing for us. Even this morning, as we listen to your word and as we receive your grace through the sacrament, may it be far from perfunctory. May we truly receive your word. May your gospel make its home within us and bear that good fruit 30, 60, 100-fold that brings joy to you and brings life and love to our world. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So maybe you've seen this, I'm sure you have, I certainly have. One of the blessings for me as a pastor teaching confirmation and being around our students as they grow up is going out into the parking lot from time to time and seeing yet another student driving up with his parents in the passenger seat. Like, wow, here's another one that's kind of reached that place in their life where they are driving. We're going through that as a family. My son Mark will be taking a test very soon, and we were practicing parking just last night, which was a lot of fun most of the time. The test is a good thing. I'm glad that the state of Minnesota wants to make sure that our students, that we have the basic fundamentals down before we venture off on the roads. It's really important that we practice certain basic things. We can keep getting better. I trust I am as I continue to get more experience. But before we get that license, before we head out on our own, we need to know, as well as the state, that we've got those basic fundamentals down. In today's gospel lesson, we have Jesus himself about to go forward into his ministry. This life that he's come here to live, he's just been baptized by John in the Jordan River. He's just heard the Father speak these words, "You are my son, my beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." He's just seen in bodily form the Holy Spirit come down upon him, making it very clear that the Holy Spirit of God is with him. And now, before he goes into his ministry, in each one of the synoptic gospels, before he starts into ministry, there's a test. He's led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. It's not something that Satan dreamed up. It's something that God dreamed up for Jesus. Let's make sure that you've got the fundamentals, that you understand what you need to know before you head out into ministry. And so as we listen to this gospel lesson from Luke chapter 4, and this, of course, every Lent is the first Sunday of Lent. This is the text, whether it's from Luke or Matthew or Mark, but the story of Jesus in the wilderness. Here is the story as told by Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give all their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forty days being tempted. 40 days of Jesus answering him. In fact, each time I've looked at this passage over the past week, the three words that have most captured my attention have been those three: Jesus answered him. You know, kind of like a refrain in the music piece. And Jesus answered him. The temptations come, the tests come. Jesus answered him. How important for us. That's what the season of Lent is for us, a time of practice. Every year we come back to this time of thinking of Jesus walking through the wilderness, walking toward the cross, and we practice during Lent more than any other season of the year. We practice these spiritual disciplines that help us to know how to answer the temptations, the tests of life. And Jesus answered him, "It is written," over and over again. And I think about how we're called to answer the temptations and the tests that come our way. I mean, we know for Jesus that with 40 days of testing, of temptation, we have three of them. Maybe that's the summation. Maybe that's kind of the final ones. We don't really know. But every one of the tests gets at a basic question. In fact, every test, every temptation that we come across in life asks the same basic question. Who are we going to believe? What storyline are we going to take to heart? Maybe you've noticed in politics these days, I was just listening to some commentators talking about the debates that have been on the past week, both in the Republican Party and in the Democratic Party. And the question that these commentators were talking about was, which narrative will dominate? You know, which narrative are we going to believe? Because we'll vote based on the storyline we most take to heart. So the storyline could be for us that unemployment is at the lowest level it's been at in years, that more children have health coverage than have ever had health coverage in the past, that we're pulling out of some of our places of battle around the world, that things are looking a little better right now. Or we could hear this narrative that says we're one Supreme Court decision away from imploding, that ISIS is very close to destroying us, that if we don't get, well, you get the idea. And of course, within those broad narratives are the individual ones that the different politicians are trying to get us to believe. Because at the end of that narrative comes this choice, this decision: vote for me, and then you've got hope. It's going to be okay. In the wilderness, we've got two competing narratives going on. And not just in the wilderness for Jesus, but in the wilderness that we walk. These two narratives, and the question for us As it was for Adam and Eve back in the garden when they were tempted. As it was for the Israelites as they went through the wilderness. As it was for Jesus. The question is, will we believe the narrative that the devil paints for us? That God cannot be trusted. His word cannot be trusted. That you need to take things into your own hands. You need to make sure that you're in control here. You need to make sure that you've got everything lined up the way it needs to be, because if you don't, you could be in big trouble here. Or there's the narrative that the Father has been speaking to his people ever again since the garden, that I love you, that you're precious in my sight, that you can trust me, and you can entrust all things into my hands. Do you see those two narratives? Do you get that? That us, which one of these narratives we really believe we're going to stake our lives on, make the difference into how we're going to stand up to the, or not stand up to, the temptations and the tests that come our way. Which storyline do you really believe in the face of the challenges of life? There's a woman that I've gotten to know over the past couple of years, doesn't live in this area, who has gone through some incredibly difficult times in her life. She grew up in an abusive environment. She did self-harm to herself, has some scars to show for it, both physical, of course, the ones you can see, but also clearly emotional. A number of years ago, she got herself tattooed on her wrist where some of the scars are for her. And across those scars is written this word, beloved. So that every time she is feeling tested, tempted, every time she looks back on those scars or might be tempted to do something else, she sees these words, this word. Beloved. You see, if we're going to believe God's narrative, this is the word we need to be practicing. You know, what's your answer going to be when you're tested, when you're tempted? And that first line, that first word that we need to be practicing is, I am loved. I am loved. Do you really believe that? Whatever the test is that comes in your life, in your world, do you know that you're loved? As the Israelites go out into the wilderness and they're wondering where their bread is going to come from, can they really believe that they're loved, that God will provide for them? And as we go forward into life, can we really believe that? I think about the Israelites and their struggle as they go through the wilderness, wondering where the water is going to come from. And God says, why are you putting me to the test? Don't you know that I've got this? That I'm with you? And again, for us, a line we might practice in our lives would be, God's got this. Whatever the challenge might be, whatever the new situation, and they're always changing for us. Every time I think, you know, okay, now I've got this figured out, life shifts a little bit, and I'm challenged in a new way. And for me to enter into that new challenge saying, I'm loved. God's got this. I can venture forward in faith. For us to be practicing our answers this Lent, to the temptations, the tests that come our way. Ultimately, to practice that line that says, God's got me. God's got us. Like the Israelites in the wilderness, like Jesus out there in the wilderness. You know, these temptations, these tests don't stop for Jesus when the wilderness experience is done. Just a few verses later in the Gospel of Luke, that same chapter, the next thing Jesus does is he goes to Nazareth, his hometown. You talk about a test, you talk about temptation. His own home people want to throw him off a cliff. They think he's off his rocker. Who do you think you are? I am beloved. That's who I am. I'm the Son of God. That's who I am. God's got this. I can follow the path of God's call because God has got me. You know, I've wondered from time to time what Jesus might have been writing in the sand that time. Remember when the woman who's caught in adultery is brought before him? They want to throw stones at her. And Jesus stoops down and he writes in the sand. And this week I've been thinking, I wonder if what he wrote down there was, "Beloved." I'm beloved. This woman is beloved. These people, judgmental and angry as they are, they're beloved. Now what do I do? What do I say? Knowing that I'm loved, she's loved, these people are loved. How does that shape how I respond to the situation? I think about Jesus carrying the cross up to Calvary. In him recounting these answers that he's been practicing since the wilderness. I am loved. God's got this. God's got me. God's got us. To be there on the cross, beloved, I am beloved. These people are beloved. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, radical things happen when we practice these answers. When we practice believing the narrative that God has been proclaiming since the beginning of his people's history. I love you. I am with you. I've got this. I've got you. Venture forward in faith. The temptation for us is to revert to the world's narrative, to the devil's narrative, to try to cling to our control, to try to hang on to our power and imagine that we are the ones who need to be God here. But there's a gift for us in giving up that control. And being honest about the reality of our power and of the powerful love of God. And this morning, this Lent, even as we come to communion and we remember together the storyline, the narrative that God has been proclaiming most powerfully through Jesus Christ our Lord, may we believe the truth of this story. May we stake our lives on the love of God. May we receive the grace of God this morning, be strengthened to go forward into the journey ahead, knowing that God loves us. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we praise you for testing us, for leading us and allowing us into those situations where we have to learn more deeply than ever before that we are loved, that you are with us, that you've got this. Believing that, Lord God, and strengthened by your grace this morning, help us to go forward into the tests ahead for us. Following the path of your call, knowing that even through death itself, you will be faithful. For you are faithful and good. We pray with thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.